Welcome to the Nephros Second Quarter 2019 Financial Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Karen Smith, President of PCG Advisory. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Karen Smith with PCG Advisory. Thank you all for participating in Nephros' second quarter 2019 conference call. Before we begin, I would like to caution that comments made during the conference call by management will contain forward-looking statements regarding the operations and future results of Nephros. I encourage you to review Nephros' filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, including without limitation the company's Forms 10-K and 10-Q, which identify specific factors that may cause actual results or events to differ materially from those described in the forward-looking statements. Factors that may affect the company's results include, but are not limited to, its ability to successfully, timely, and cost-effectively develop, seek, and obtain regulatory clearance for and commercialize its products and services offerings, the rate of adoption of its products and services by hospitals and other healthcare providers, the success of its commercialization efforts, the effects on its business of existing and new regulatory requirements, and other economic and competitive factors. The content of this conference call contains time-sensitive information that is accurate only as of the date of the live call, today, August 7th, 2019. The company undertakes no obligation to revise or update any statements to reflect events or circumstances after the date of this conference call, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the call over to Darren Evans, Nephros CEO. Darren, please go ahead.
Thank you, Karen, and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Nephros' Q2 2019 earnings conference call. I will begin the call with a brief overview of our second quarter results and provide a corporate update. Then I'll turn the call over to Andy Astor, our Chief Operational and Financial Officer. Andy will do a deeper dive into our second quarter operating results. Q2 was another good quarter. Total revenues were up almost 70%. All of our business segments experienced growth versus second quarter in 2018. Additionally, we supported a number of pathogen outbreaks in the second quarter. Pathogens tend to propagate in greater numbers in the warmer months, and this year has been very consistent. Our land and expand strategy, in cooperation with our strategic partners in the hospital segment, continues to be an effective sales strategy. Hospitals have had 2 years to implement the water management plans to be compliant with the recent standards added by the CMS site survey. We are seeing more and more sites be proactive in their efforts to suppress the ever-present bioburdens in their pipes. In the dialysis segment, we are seeing our Endopure footprint grow slowly, but steadily. Our portable RO business was consistent. We expect this segment to continue to see slow but steady growth as more sites begin to adopt the updated AMI standards for dialysis water and use additional Endopures and RO polished filters. In our commercial segment, we are seeing steady growth and are working with large format customers in the quick service restaurant or fast food market, as well as partnering with some large beverage companies in that space. We also see continued growth in the convenience store chains. We continue to expand our manufacturing and R&D capabilities on this side of the business. We are seeing expansion of our commercial products into the hospital space as well, one of the synergies that we'd hoped would percolate following the acquisition. In the second quarter, we made great progress with our real-time multi-pathogen diagnostic product. We introduced the product at two industry conferences to gather some initial feedback and short lists of folks who would like to be part of the early customers. This month, we'll perform usability testing in the field with a number of our strategic partners. Over the next few months, we'll be working with our partners and other infection control experts to validate the test, draft white papers to highlight methods of use. We are on track to launch the product later in the year. In regards to the second-generation hemodiafiltration product under development in our specialty renal product subsidiary, we have almost finalized the design. We have been able to perform enough usability testing to be very comfortable that dialysis nurses and technicians treating the patients with the device will have a vastly improved experience versus our first-generation device. We are happy with the updated software, the look and feel of the device, and the improved substitution line installation, setup, and removal process. The whole system is much more intuitive and in line with the normal workflow of a dialysis technician and nurse. We did experience a short delay with a vendor who is manufacturing one of our components. The delay is over, but it caused our timelines to shift. We now expect we'll be able to submit our 510K in the first part of 2020 instead of by the end of the year. We will be showing the new HDF device at the American Society of Nephrology conference in November, and we'll be meeting with prominent nephrologists in the back part of this year to start to develop our short list of sites who would like to be part of our initial launch of this next generation product. I'll now turn the call over to Andy for the financial overview.
Thanks, Darren. I will now provide a look at our consolidated financial results for the quarter ended June 30, 2019, as well as guidance about our expected revenues this year. I will also give an update on our plans to uplist to a national exchange. I'll begin with consolidated financial results. I am very pleased to report our 12th consecutive quarter of year-over-year product revenue growth with an average growth rate of over 60%. As we have said consistently for 3 years now, we believe this steady revenue growth is indicative of Nephros's strong product portfolio, our increasing market awareness of our brand, our deep relationships with partner companies in the field, and the increasing number of regulations that require water testing and remediation. I'm also very pleased to report that in July, Nephros's monthly revenue exceeded $1 million for the first time in the company's history. This result included both a strong performance in our prevention business as well as some significant outbreak response business. While the $1 million month is an important milestone, it is important to keep in mind that outbreak responses do not follow a predictable schedule, so future months will not necessarily equal or exceed the month of July. Nephros's reported total net revenues of $2.3 million for the quarter. This compares with $1.4 million in the same quarter last year, an increase of about $900,000 or 69%. Product revenues, which comprised 99% of total revenues this year, were up 88% for the year. Cost of goods sold in the quarter were $0.9 million compared with $0.5 million in the same quarter last year, an increase of 76%. Gross margins for the quarter were 59% compared to 61% in the same quarter last year. These results are in line with our previously announced expectations of gross margins in the range of 55 to 60%. Research and development, or R&D, expenses were approximately $0.8 million for the quarter, compared with $0.4 million last year, an increase of 125%. This R&D increase over the past year is due to our investment both in the new water diagnostics product and the second-generation HDF machine, both of which Darren mentioned earlier in this call. Selling, general, and administrative, or SG&A, expenses were $1.4 million this quarter, compared with $1.1 million in 2018, a 29% increase, largely due to new headcount to support our increased revenues. Our cash balance at the end of the first quarter was $4.3 million, compared with $3.5 million at this time last year. Based on our results in the second quarter, and our strong sales pipeline, I'm pleased to reiterate guidance for 2019 revenues between $8.5 and $9.5 million, which would be an increase of 50 to 65% over 2018. I'll now discuss our water filtration business segment. As a reminder, we recognize two distinct business segments, water filtration and renal products. Water filtration is 100% of our current revenues, which have approximately tripled over the past 3 years. Our renal products business, on the other hand, is a development stage business. Net loss in the water filtration business was $0.5 million, a small improvement of 8% compared with a net loss of $0.6 million in the second quarter last year. Adjusted EBITDA for the water filtration business was negative $0.1 million this year compared to a negative of $0.3 million in 2018, a 62% improvement. As we discussed in our previous earnings call, the water filtration business segment showed positive adjusted EBITDA in the fourth quarter of 2018, and we do anticipate a return to positive adjusted EBITDA during 2019. Please refer to today's press release for more details about the calculation of adjusted EBITDA and its reconciliation to GAAP net income or loss. I will now discuss our uplist process. As you all know, we executed a 1-for-9 reverse stock split on July 10th of 2019, just a few weeks ago. And with that step, we believe we now meet all published criteria for uplisting. We continue to work actively on completing this objective. We believe we are making headway, and we expect to report progress in the near future. I'll just say off the cuff that it is a process that takes time and is not fully controllable from our end, so we can't really be more specific than that. Lastly, we continue to present the Nephro story to the investment community regularly, and we plan to attend a number of upcoming events throughout the next several months. This concludes our formal presentation remarks. I would like to personally thank all of our stakeholders for their continued support, and I look forward to chatting with you again soon. We will now take questions from the audience and also answer emailed questions as appropriate. Operator, please open the call for questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one, on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. And to withdraw your question, please press star, then two. And at this time, we will pause for a moment to assemble our roster. Our first question today will come from Howard Halpern of Taglich Brothers. Please go ahead.
Congratulations. Great quarter, guys.
Thanks. Thanks, Howard.
Could you talk a little bit about, I guess, the sales cycle for the commercial customers that you hope to grow with over, the next couple of years?
So there's not any real theme that we can see. Some have an RFP process that they say is very clear and defined and then take months and months to deliberate. Others will call up one day and say, hey, I have 100 sites and I need to have filters there tomorrow. So the larger ones that we expect to have, if we get them, they will cause step changes increases in the revenue. They just take time, and we're not going to be the ones to hurry them, but we'll be happy to take their requests when they get them. We hope to have some news on some soon, but we wouldn't be surprised if they came tomorrow and said, we're good, let's go. And we wouldn't be surprised if they came, Q1 next year and said, okay, let's go. So it's, unfortunately, we're definitely at the end of the tail on this one, but we're in the running, and we tend to be sort of one or two in the list. Cross your fingers and hope we get some of these big hits.
Okay, and what are you seeing? I think you mentioned a little bit, but what are you actually seeing in terms of your existing hospital customers sort of taking on some of the new products that you obtained in the acquisition?
A couple of years ago, when we were first sort of pushing into the hospital space on an aggressive basis, what we found is that less than 5% of hospitals had a microbiological filter on their ice machine, but they had a filter. And they usually had the filter that was there as recommended by the ice machine maker that was recommended to the same people they send in McDonald's and to Subways and to other restaurants. So they had a restaurant filter on there. And so what we're seeing is the right thing to do to have pure water in the hospital that's totally safe is to not have a carbon filter, because carbon grows bugs, and just to have a microbiological filter. That doesn't sit well with people who like the taste of the ice, and so some decide they want to maintain the protection of taste and odor in addition to the microbiological. And for those customers, they generally have either an Everpure or a Kuno manifold in place, and it's very easy to plug and play our product right in the same manifold and then put our microbiological filter following that, and we give them the option, and we're happy to support them with a set instead of a single.
Okay. Can you talk, I guess, a little bit about the second generation product, the 510K submissions now going to get pushed just a little bit, you said, but how long once you submit, all the documentation does it normally take to expect an answer? So as to get a little bit of a time frame on when you could actually officially launch the product.
Yeah, so there's the path we're going to start with is the special 510K path, because we're making a second generation of the existing product. We're not changing the label. We're not changing the use. We're just sort of changing some features on the machine. The standard special 510K is a 30-day response. However, what we've learned from the FDA from the dialysis space, especially for HDF, is that they could dig in really deep or they could not. It just depends. We've heard some other companies come to them with HDF and get rejected. We've heard some companies go with an HDF program, try to use us as a predicate, and get told, no, that's not going to work. It's a great question. I'd like to say somewhere between 30 and 180 days. Just depends.
To be conservative on a modeling basis, it would be the second half of next year would be an approximate launch for generating some meaningful revenue.
Yeah, and even if we got a fast approval, let's say 30-day approval, and we were able to sell kind of in late Q1, early Q2, we're going to take a slow approach to market. We're going to pick a couple of sites of trusted nephrologists that we work with well. We've got an office in Nashville and some great relationships, so probably somewhere around there. We're not going to rush. This is a big market, great patients, great nephrologists out there. We want to make sure we do it right.
And same goes for the diagnostic product. You're going to have, once you launch it, you're going to have a core group that you're going to, dig deep on and then expand more rapidly after those, for lack of a better word, test subjects or test clients, find the product very, very useful.
Yeah, similar strategy, but we'll probably have a faster ramp once we do our soft launch, so I call it. So we have sort of identified some experts that we're going to work with to go do an outbreak and go test and see how we utilize that, and then write a white paper on it. We're going to go do some basic building diagnosis. If we think about the patient as the building of the patient, let's do a building diagnosis and see what's there. We'll do set up some maintenance programs, and we'll do that. But once we have some comfort around those sort of three thrusts, we have over 800 customers that we know us, trust us, use our filters, who are spending money right now on testing, and there's no reason why we can't do a blast. We can the filter we use for consolidating the test sample, we can press print very quickly. The test strips we're making, we can either make them in the lab or we can use a robot. So we can scale very quickly, and we think there's a large demand for the testing based on what's being spent right now. And we think that our solution might have some value in from a convenience and data point of view. So don't know how fast it'll launch, but we're very optimistic that there's a place for this.
Okay, and one final one from me. Your distributor network has it grown over the last quarter or so? Have you obtained new distributors?
I think we added one, maybe two small ones. But what's been happening is the momentum in the market for our product is accelerating. And if you think about a sales force in any given distributor, there's the 10% first movers. There's sort of the bolus in the middle, and there's the people who will never ever sell our stuff because they don't do that. We're seeing a movement in that 80% of the we'll watch and see what happens with the product before we really put some time and effort into it, and we're seeing some motion there. So I'd say out of the hundreds of boots in the ground that could sell the product, we have probably less than 100 that are really doing it well. I think that number is growing and growing pretty quickly.
Right.
And just to add a point to that, there aren't, you know, hundreds of distributors that we want.
Right,
we've got a dozen or so, and that's a good number. We can focus on that. We can grow quickly with that number. You know, we will add opportunistically, but we don't want to go out and double our distributor base tomorrow.
Okay. We have pretty good coverage with the ones we have.
Yep.
Okay. Well, guys, keep up the great work.
Thanks very much, Howard.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. Our next question will come from Michael Brick of National Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi. The numbers compared to last year are very impressive. I'm looking at the guidance for the rest of the year, and it would seem to me that you're sort of guiding flat compared to this quarter. And first of all, am I sort of on the wrong track with that? Otherwise, you know, is it sort of like plateauing until the next generation product comes in? What are you seeing that gives you, that makes you give that guidance?
Michael, I knew. First of all, Michael, it's Andy. Good to talk to you again. And I knew someone was going to ask that question. I didn't know who it would be. You know, we do our guidance right at the end of the quarter. And if you think about where we were at the end of the quarter, we were at about $4 million. And so to guide to 8.5 to 9.5 on top of a $4 million base halfway through seems prudent to me and seems appropriate. Then we had $1 million month in July. And if we reviewed our guidance monthly, you know, this might be a different conversation, but we don't. We review it quarterly, and, you know, let's see how Q3 goes, and at the end of Q3, we'll give you an update.
Got it. Is there any seasonality in your business?
There is. When it's cold, bugs grow more slowly. So Q1, particularly... You know what I would say is there's not so much seasonality in the prevention side of our business, but there's definitely seasonality in the outbreak side of the business. And so where, you know, we saw quite a bit of outbreak business in the last few months, and I would expect that to reduce as the temperatures go down. But, you know, not dramatic seasonality, but some. If you look at our Q1 growths over the last 3 years over Q4, as opposed to over the year before, you'll get a feel for that.
Got it. Do you guys have any international business or plans for it?
So very little. I answer this question a lot. There's a huge market out there, but we're a small company, and frankly. Part of the way you succeed as a small company is you say no to far more things than you say yes to, and we are focusing on the U.S. as our primary outbound marketing and sales activity. And opportunistically, if something comes in internationally, we'll certainly look at it. But for the next few quarters, certainly, our focus remains U.S.
Got it. My final question is. How scalable is the business?
Quite scalable. You know, we don't know precisely what our market share or the market share of or the size of our major competitor, but it's quite scalable. We can pretty much triple our current size without. Any significant change in our supply chain, and we're, you know, maybe 10% market share in a market that is growing by, I don't know, some number around 20% per year probably. And so there's the foreseeable future, the next 3 years in a company of our size, that's a long time. The foreseeable future, we don't really see a change in the opportunity.
Got it. Thank you very much, guys.
Good to talk to you, Michael. Thanks.
Yep. Cheers.
And our next question will come from Art Winston of Pilot Advisors. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a great quarter, and it's good to know that we're a play on global warming.
Thanks, Art.
I have two related questions on the expenses. Could you give some additional color on which of the new products and new products are getting the bulk of this increase in research, SG&A, and added manpower? And as a follow-on, are we going to still ramp up the these operating expenses from where they were in the second quarter, or are they going to plateau out, or are they going to go up with the increased sales that we anticipate having?
Well, I don't have it in front of me, but I think the G&A only went up 29% on a year where growth went up 90%. I think you're seeing particularly the G&A as opposed to the SG&A flatten out nicely. In terms of the investment in the new product, they're not too far apart. I guess I would tell you that the HDF business is probably costing about twice as much per quarter in R&D as the diagnostic product, give or take. That's a rational way to think about it. It kind of makes sense because HDF is a much more the product with a lot more subtleties and a lot more regulation around it and so forth than the water testing product. Did I miss any part of your question?
Are we going to continue to add manpower, do you think, or in the near future?
Marginal. Manpower would go up just a little bit this year. I'd be surprised if it went up 10% in the next 6 to 9 months. Opportunistically, we're always looking for people to help us increase our top line. We're not going to go out and double our sales force or anything like that, but we had a great opportunity with a water safety expert who joined our team in May, and frankly, in April, I didn't know that was going to become an option for us, and we grabbed it when he became available. So we're at this point, I think we're growing what I would say incrementally and quite carefully.
Right. Congratulations and thank you.
Thanks, Art.
And ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude the question and answer session. And this will also conclude the Nephros second quarter 2019 financial results conference call. Thank you for attending today's presentation, and you may now disconnect your lines.